On this episode of Still Loading.
Oh, this is what I get for following your stupid directions. I'm getting waterlogged.
Well, so what? Look at my fingers. They're all pickled.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to this new episode of the Still Loading Podcast. I'm your host, Josh Koval, and today it is more Captain N than you could ever want or imagine. That's impossible. You can never want enough Captain N. But we are back with another episode of our series on the Captain N, the Game Master cartoon. This is Season 2, Episode 3, and I believe the title of this episode is The Quest for the Potion of Power. And of course, I could not do this alone. My co-host with the mo-host, Dexter Morrill. Dexter, how are you doing tonight?
Woo, doing great. We have the perfect amount of Captain N for people to handle, I think. I think we've measured it out right before we
measured
recording.
in precise measurements. Got a couple cups, got a couple teaspoons, doling out the Captain N here and there.
Yes,
Next time you see me at a convention, I'll have like Salt Bae, doing the Salt Bae thing down your arm. For listeners who couldn't see what Dexter was doing. And you know, next time you see me at a convention, I'll have like the sweet and sour powder, you know, the stuff that you like put like dip on candies and stuff that's like supposed to make it sour but it's also sweet, and I'll just start throwing it at people like, here's some Captain N for your face.
I think that's,
and I'm sure it'll go over well. Yeah. I'm sure they'll be so happy.
Definitely won't be kicked out of the convention.
Not in the slightest. Now, listeners, I'm just giving you a bit of a forewarning. This is not a content warning like the other episode. Two Captain N's ago now. I am sleepy, tired as poo. I mean, as you could tell, I slurred all those words together. So this episode might get off the rails a little bit because I'm just trying to stay awake. What, sorry?
I said we might get a little punchy.
Get a little punchy, yeah. A little punch buggies, I don't know. So we are here for... I wasn't expecting you to find that random comment funny. But here we go. We are talking about Season 2, Episode 3, The Quest for the Potion of Power, written by Rick Merwin and released on September 22nd, 1990. Rick Merwin... if I can actually type into my control F, it appears he only wrote one episode and this was it. So apparently he wasn't very good. But no, I'm just kidding.
they gave him a big one though.
They did. I actually didn't hate this episode. I think I like this, like the Queen of Apes episode last week, the one that we surprised it. That episode was just the most bizarre combination of so much to talk about and so little to talk about at the same time. This episode, I actually think I like more. I just like how zany it is. And it starts off with, honestly, some pretty solid exposition. And I'm not saying that sarcastically. Like, if you were to put this in any other... Let me put it this way. This exposition, on a technical level, is not good because it's just straight-up exposition. But at the same time... for a show like this where you're jumping into different game worlds and everything, it's the perfect amount of exposition for all you need to know for this world. All you got to know is that in the Kingdom of Hyrule, years after the fall of the evil wizard Ganon, the Kingdom of Hyrule is at peace. But then rumors start returning that Ganon may return. And that's all you need to know. Like that's really concise and clear exposition. Now, Dexter, as we usually start off with all this, even though I started talking about the episode a little bit, what's one of your first observations about this episode? What's something that stuck out to you?
I actually really enjoyed this episode I guess I should probably write down one of these days, like the things that I go off of when I like scoring these in my head, the things that I look at. And it's kind of like how my younger self would enjoy it, how my older self would enjoy it. Like those are the kind of things I think about, but this one was pretty solid. I really enjoyed the the cameo, I guess we haven't said it yet, or I guess we did with Ganon, but you know, Link and Zelda show up in this one. And it didn't feel like they showed up and smiled and waved at the camera and then walked away. It wasn't like a small cameo. It was like they were legitimate characters that had an arc in this episode, and it felt like a real TV show for a few minutes.
Yeah, I would agree with that. I would say, because Link specifically has a character arc in this episode that's a little different than what you're used to from like the supporting cast, from the supporting characters. I will say I was very disappointed he didn't say "Excuse me, princess" once in this episode. I was waiting for it, and so much so that the voice actor for Link in this episode is the same voice actor in the actual cartoon that came out a couple of years before, Jonathan Potts, or I guess the previous year. And the voice actress for Zelda, it was the same voice actress for the cartoon, for the Zelda cartoon as well, Cynthia Preston. I was a little bummed. I'm not going to lie. I was a little bummed there's no "Excuse me, princess" that we could be looking forward to.
We had to share that information because we were not sure. Like, we were talking about that before we started recording. Like, was that the same voice actor? And if that gives any of our listeners any inclination, like, it feels like a slightly different performance for both of them. And I think that it might be for the better. If you are a dear listener, one of those folks that refuses to watch the Saturday morning Zelda cartoon because of the "Excuse me, princess." You're missing out.
Completely.
I think you'll like this episode.
One more thing before we dive into this. Dexter, you were texting me off mic about something that we weird from the previous week's episode, previous month's episode, excuse me, about something that was cut out of the DVD. Am I right with that? Could you go into that a little bit before we just basically a clarification on last month's episode?
Yes. So the last episode was Queen of the Apes, where we had our big body switch. There was a couple of abrupt things that occurred in that episode. Such a strange episode, but
it
turns out that 2 minutes worth of the episode were cut in the episodes. I think we've kind of talked about in the past how like the DVD is the official version, but apparently they had to use a certain syndicated version of the show for the official release of it on DVD. So that includes, you know, the 2 minutes missing from Queen of the Apes. And some of that included an underwater piranha battle. I imagine some of that was the conversation between Lana and Mother Brain when they abruptly were cut off.
I feel like at least that should not have been cut. That was an important 2 minutes. Maybe not the underwater piranha battle, but at least the conversation between Mother Brain and Lana.
And something else that you had pointed out in the episode was how Kid Icarus and Mega Man had to, like, they caught Mother Brain's body, which had Game Boy's mm-hmm. brain in it, and then somehow they were just a part of the group again. Like, it didn't talk about, well, that was something that was cut out, was them hoisting Mother Brain's body up the mountain where they ended up meeting back up with everybody. So they had cut that out as well. According to the people who put out the DVD, Shout Factory, which they usually have a pretty good reputation of high quality, you know, bringing back old stuff onto DVD, they said that that was an authoring error. So I don't think that that was necessarily Deke's fault. You know, I think that ended up being on their end, how that 2 minutes got cut.
Huh, interesting. Then I wonder if they'll ever, I thought I saw in your text too that they were trying to fix it, or they were going to re-release it with a fixed version.
Yes. I don't know how up to date that part of the information was, if they did end up releasing a second version that had those 2 minutes, or.
I'm going to just Google Shout Factory and see if what they're still doing.
Don't try to buy it, by the way. $280 on eBay.
Really? Yeah. Captain N is $280 on eBay.
Yes, I think so.
What's wrong with people, man? Like, come on.
Why can't we just enjoy things? I'm going to go ahead and say it. It's because of how well we do with this rewatch. Just everybody wants to get
we're the ones that are driving the price up.
You're welcome, everyone.
Oh, my gosh. All right. So let's dive full force into this episode. Like we mentioned before, it had that exposition to start off where you're talking about how Ganon may come back to the kingdom of Hyrule, but it's only rumors. And I thought this scene was very strange. I thought the whole idea of rumors of Ganon just coming back was so... The way it was shown was so bizarre to me, because it's the narrator goes, you know, but the rumors of Ganon returning soon came out, and you just see a couple of moblins just storming about, like charging around the town angrily, not attacking anyone, just raw and just storming through the town, and the villagers are terrified. And it was just such a, I don't know, the idea of just we've heard rumors. And there's no rumors being told. You just see people being scared and a bunch of moblins angrily walking around the town, and that's it.
Yes, they heard the rumors from the roaring moblins. But no, it's actually, I actually was kind of, I was wondering, I couldn't remember, you know, watching this one as a kid, but I was like, are they doing Zelda 2 right now, Adventure of Link? And they kind of, it is kind of a really simplified version of how that game starts as well. Like the whole thing that they're trying to revive Ganon. They, of course, they don't bring up the weird, like, Zelda's ancestor, also named Zelda, that's still asleep, that's been asleep for, like, generations, making everything much more confusing. That's not involved. They just have the Zelda that we know from the first game and from the animated series. And unlike the game, she gets to join in on the adventure, which is fun.
You are right. It is Zelda 2, the adventure, like according to Wikipedia, at the very least. And so after we find out that there's rumors of Ganon returning, rumors, spooky, ooky rumors.
Like the Fleetwood Mac album.
Yeah. Duke and Game Boy are playing tag, I guess, and they're kind of jumping in and out of portals, and Game Boy, he says something along the lines, you know, like reversing target or something, or reversing game, and then he tags Duke, and the Duke starts chasing him, and that's when Simon's sitting in a like at a table in some conference looking room, as much as it is a conference room, I don't know. The Palace of Power has a lot of rooms that just look like different conference rooms. You know what we should do?
That someone can call.
We should go. There's not that many episodes. I may create a supercut. Maybe not a supercut. I might take screenshots of all the rooms that they get called, you know, like video calls in at, and see how many different rooms in the Palace of Power do they stay consistent, or is it just different every time? I think it's different every time, and I want to see how many there are. But if they're actually consistent, I will be even more amazed, because I feel like that's something they probably wouldn't do otherwise. But
I think you're
so,
right.
Right? So Simon is just sitting on a table reading True Love magazine, and all of the pictures on True Love magazine are of himself.
So this implies that, like, he wrote this magazine and printed it himself as well. Like, there can't be anybody out there that loves Simon that much.
I mean, unless he was asked to be a model for that one issue, and so he's just looking at his own issue. Both is incredibly conceited. Obviously, him making a whole magazine just to show off himself so he can look at himself is even more conceited, but it's... just the pictures of it, it looks like a stereotypical like 80s teen magazine, the way like they designed it on there too. I just thought that was so bizarre but so funny. I really loved that moment, just even though Simon's an idiot in it. So he gets a phone call, he gets a video call from Princess Zelda asking for Captain N to help, and he's like, well, I'm a hero, I can help you. And he does all, you know, he's like, look, I'm a tall and handsome and tall, blonde and handsome, and I can, what does he say, I'm super fit and I'm super athletic and agile. And right when he's like doing jump rope with his whip. He takes his magazine that he spent all this time to make and he throws it up in the air and he chops it up with his whip. And then
he shreds it into a paper chain his own face, like his own head. He makes like a little paper chain.
It all connects like a little doily chain or something like that. And then after he does all this, Duke and Game Boy come back through the portal, knock him off his balance, and flies into like a plant. And they kind of make it seem like it's a cactus almost, even though he doesn't jump out of it. Like it looks like it doesn't hurt at all. And then when he's asked to get out of the plant, that's when all of a sudden it hurts. I just thought that was strange. But the reason I say that it makes it seem like they wanted the plant to hurt him is that when Kevin and Lana do show up, they ask him what he's doing in his plant. He's like, oh, and when he's trying to climb out of it, he goes like, ow, or like, ooh, it looks like it's like gripping onto him. And he's like, oh, I'm just, pruning the shrub or something like that. And he's plucking leaves off of it, like little petals or whatever off of it.
Yes, I noticed they did a little, it always stuck out to me as a kid when animators would do this, like whenever you see a cartoon character that's continually eating something and it's always the same bite that they're taking, or like they might be like scooping something from a bowl and the amount of food in the bowl never goes down. The same thing happens here with the pruning of the plant. He keeps like pulling the same leaf off and it just
never goes away.
Yeah.
It's like one of those candles that you can't blow out. It's a leaf you can't pluck. It's just no matter how many times.
Yes. And we had I noticed that too. We had a moment of Lana being jealous of Princess Zelda too in this too, because
just a quick moment, yes.
Yes, a very brief moment. But I liked the first of all, sick burn on Simon when because she does say like I'm calling for a hero, and that's when Simon does his whole spiel, and then she was like, actually, I'm looking for Captain N, and I was like, oh, sick burn, and that's when Lana's like, there's a lot of
people. You never speak to me that way, and because he bows to Princess Zelda, he's like, "I'll be right there, Princess." And he bows, and Princess Lana's like, "You never speak to me that way." And she's like,
"And then she's like, make sure you're home for dinner." I was like, "Oh,
I don't know if you noticed this, Dexter. That's the last you see Princess Lana in this episode,
and we get no Kid Icarus or Mega Man. And I'm
you at least get Mega Man. I'd have to double check the end, but the end of this episode is very bizarre, and we'll go into why in a moment. But I need to let me just look up at the end of this really fast and see if I can see who exactly was on the team. So when we do get to the end, it's a lot more accurate. But yeah, so it's really the last you see Princess Lana in this episode, which is super bizarre. And they go to Game Boy, asks if he can come along for reasons I don't quite understand why. But then when Duke asks to come along, Kevin's like, no, you have to stay back here and, you know, hold down the fort. And I'm like, there's literally like Mega Man's here. Kid Icarus is here. Simon's here. Like there's everybody's here. You're fine.
It's a big fort.
It is a big fort. It is a very big fort. So Kevin, Game Boy, they go to Hyrule so that way they can get the potion of power. The whole premise of this is that someone's trying to find this potion of power to feed Ganon so that way he can be resurrected. You find out shortly after this that it's actually Mother Brain who's kind of pulling the strings a little bit, even though the beginning of the episode, it seems like, oh, they're going after the potion. Maybe I should follow them so I can get it. But then later on, it seems like Mother Brain wanted to awaken Ganon all along. So it's like the beginning of the episode, it's almost like she didn't know Ganon existed. And the end of the episode, she's like, oh, it was my plan all along to try to resurrect Ganon with this potion of power. Did you get that vibe from it too?
Yeah, because when they cut to King Hippo and Eggplant Wizard, when she's like, I'm going to tell them to go get that potion of power. But when it cuts to Eggplant Wizard and King Hippo, they've already been looking for it because, and then she's like, oh no, just follow them and they'll lead you to it. So, but yeah, but it makes it sound like she's just learning about the potion of power right then when she's spying on them. But then King Hippo and Eggplant Wizard have always already been looking. I was very confused as to like when Mother Brain's plot began.
this is also like the second episode in a row where Mother Brain's monologue to King Hippo and Eggplant Wizard is impossible to understand. I could not understand anything she said to them. And the animation looked like the cell was a little blurry. Like the animation cell for her in the one scene with them was a little blurry. Just this whole, this is the second episode in a row. I could not understand anything that they were saying in this. It was just very confusing. And this is a trope of this show that I really like, where King Hippo and Eggplant Wizard are together in some weird predicament, and there's always some stupid line describing the predicament they're in. So in this one, it's King Hippo saying that he's waterlogged, and that Eggplant Wizard, you heard this, like this is actually the intro clip, so you already heard this, you know, my little fingies are pickled, and then he pulls out his hands from underneath the swamp water and it's just pickles. He has pickles for fingers. It's not that he has wrinkly fingers, it's just full on pickles, which or pickled eggplant at the very least. Now this trend of them saying like, just I know it's a loose trend, but I still think like it's a loose way to describe it. But I can't think of any other way to describe it except like they're in some like gross, or not, I shouldn't say gross, but in some, they're on the trail of the end team for Mother Brain, and something weird happens and they have to, and they say some line. I think back to, you know, like get your foot out of my belly button, or that old line, that classic that we got right there, or even into like the second episode where King Hippo is like can't get through the portal, and Eggplant Wizard's like, nonsense, all you need is a little lubrication and ooh, I'll toss your salad.
I'll artichoke you to death.
It feels like it's a trend, like it's a trope of them, but I can't really put a finger on how to describe it. You know what I mean? It could just be wild antics, but I just feel like maybe it's just insults. Maybe their trope is their insults to each other. You know, like they're in a predicament, and the way they speak to each other is just wild.
The formula that whoever established the formula for Captain N episode was like, this is the part where King Hippo and Eggplant Wizard have a pun fight.
It's gotta be it. After you see King Hippo and Eggplant Wizard gets pickled, King Hippo gets waterlogged, and they're going, you know, Mother Brain sends them after the end team to track down to follow them as the end team tracks down this potion of power. They go to some town in Hyrule, Kevin, Game Boy. We didn't even talk about Kevin meeting Princess Zelda and Link from obviously Legend of Zelda. Link in this whole episode is super awkward, and I don't understand why. Like, I understand why after the fact, but I just don't know why they had to make this a character choice for him, you know?
Yeah, the initial meeting is silent. Like, he's like, oh, hey, it's Link. And Link just kind of like approaches him, and then he doesn't talk until like they shake hands. He's like, oh, hey, I'm Link. Why isn't he talking? I feel really awkward right now.
I was like, is he just going to be mute like the character from the game? Like, is that what they're going for?
It was that long of an awkward pause, like silence. Mm-hmm. They're gonna be silent protagonists. Yeah,
that's bold for this, them to do a silent protagonist in this. They meet Zelda, they meet Link, and they go to a town, and no one is in the streets except for this one woman. So Zelda calls out to her, says, hey, we want to ask you a question, and this woman freaks out and starts running away. And I don't know nothing. Get off my back. I love the immediate distrust of strangers from this woman.
The end of this scene makes the beginning make no sense. I'll let you continue.
The end of this whole scene makes no sense. This is Princess Zelda, the ruler of Hyrule.
And the hero.
And one of the heroes, and this random villager is like, I don't know you, and starts running away from them. You don't know your princess? Like, I don't understand what's happening here. So this woman runs away. They hear the end team doesn't want to chase after her because they're not trying to like hurt her or scare her, but they hear her scream after she turns down an alleyway. And in that alleyway, she is now captured by moblins and they have to fight them. And this is kind of where the whole throughout this episode, Kevin and Link end up having a lot of animosity towards each other. They don't like each other for one reason or another. And this is where it kind of starts. But Kevin gets off to an awful starts off on an awful footing because he he does a he's trying to shoot one of the moblins with his zapper. And he does a backflip and then slips on a pile of rocks, falls onto his back, and the moblin's about to stab him. And if this was actually being aired on live TV, this is when the commercial break was going to happen. It does the fade out like it's time for a commercial. And when it comes back, it just the stabbing misses. So anticlimactic. Yeah. It was so goofy. Like, this whole scene was just bizarre. So they fight the moblins. They are able to take him out through a weird montage, and then the last moblin that's left, like this random kid, just comes out and the moblin takes him as a hostage.
It's the woman's kid.
And you find out afterwards it's a woman's kid, but he doesn't like. There's no reason for him. He's literally looking at the moblin, and he still decides to walk towards him. It's so strange, and he's like, you know, don't come and throw down your weapons or I'll, you know, kill the kid. And so everyone does. Kevin throws his blaster at him. And the guy's like, what? And that's when he throws a blanket over top. Kevin then uses that distraction to throw a blanket over top of them, which for some reason causes the guy to let go of his hostage. And then
it's even worse than that. The plan is even worse than that because. Okay. Yeah, of course. Zelda puts down her bow because she's got a bow and arrow because she's badass. And
my axe. Sorry.
And Link puts down his sword, and Kevin just chills with his zapper. And the moblin's like, "Hey, you too. You're no exception." And so Kevin, like, he confidently is like, "Okay, here you go," and throws the zapper. I was expecting him to like. Be so tactful that he'd throw it in a way that it would fire when it hit the ground and like zap him, like be that kind of like, but it doesn't. It hits the ground and everyone's just kind of staring. And then Kevin bends down, which should have been a threatening thing where like, okay, the kid gets it now. You should what are you doing? He bends down, picks up a blanket out of nowhere. Like we don't see the blanket in shot. We didn't see it before. It's not like a Chekhov's gun. Like we weren't, no one was privy to this blanket on the floor. He picks it up and throws it. Ha ha. And it lands on the moblin who's like, hey, who turned out the lights? You know, like can't help but trip over himself. And then that's how they're able to stop him. But I was like, there were so many opportunities for someone on the good guy's side to be killed. This moblin was completely, you know, he was just pointless. I will say, though, that the fight scene after the commercial break, after the weird backward slip of Kevin, when we come back from that fade back in, the animation was actually pretty good there. Like, it was pretty smooth. There were some decent shots, whether or not they made sense or not. I'll leave that up to the audience, but the actual animation looked good there.
So a couple frames after the scene we're talking about, like after the moblin gets, you know, the blanket thrown on him and then Link picks his sword back up and kills him and he falls, you know, the disappears and the blanket falls. It cuts over to Eggplant Wizard and King Hippo watching the end team, but they're in disguises.
And yeah, I saw that. I was like, why are they King in disguise? Hippo
has a giant like Robotnik size mustache and a beard. And Eggplant Wizard's wearing like a tomato, like a potato sack for like a cape or like a hood or something like that. And his fist looks like his fist is so abnormally large. Eggplant Wizard's fist is so abnormally large holding his like wand that it's like the size of his face. It's not over his face. It's underneath it. But you look at it, his fist is just huge. And I just love. I'm almost wondering, Dexter, if this should be, if we can find, because I believe there's a couple, like you can see it beforehand, You see, you know, King Hippo and Eggplant Wizard in their disguises before this. And I genuinely wonder if that should be the thumbnail from this, because it's just
it might have to be, or else it's so, so forgettable. Ludicrous. I forgot that it even happened, because it makes no sense that they're in disguise.
No, because they stay hidden the whole time. So unless like the townspeople are supposed to know who they are and be afraid of them, but the townspeople's afraid of Zelda, so I think they're afraid of everything. Like, I think any person is a threat to them in this world. Just a very strange scene. And so the end of this whole fight happens. Okay, yeah, at the five. Oh my gosh, Dexter, you should see at the 5 minutes and 37 second mark of the episode, there is an amazing shot of Eggplant Wizard in his he's wearing like kind of like an old style dress with like a cloak, and King Hippo's got the beard and everything on. Eggplant Wizard looks like he's about to like kill someone. He's off on a, like, he's got a frowny face, and King Hippo's eyes are like bloodshot, and like he's, one's half droop closed and the other one's open. This has to be the thumbnail, right? Like, we have to go with this for the thumbnail. This is, and just seeing like his like eggplant staff that he's wielding, this is amazing. Though he looks a little blue in this shot, he doesn't look purple.
There were definitely a couple of colors that were odd in this one, and I don't know,
because like his the weird thing is his staff, the eggplant on his staff is still purple, so it's not like they just fucked up the color degradation on everything. It was a choice for Eggplant Wizard.
Yeah.
That's so strange. Right. Oh, that's so funny. That was amazing.
The strangest part of all is how the scene ends, though, because after they save the kid and the woman, she's like, because when the Moblin captured them, she was like, I don't know anything. You know, like same thing she said to Captain N and Link and Zelda. She's saying that to the Moblin too. And then after they rescue, she's like, oh, by the way, I do know something. Here's a map to the key. This is what you need. Like, what?
It's like,
you
a
did
whole
know something.
It's like, well, thank you, Exposition Sally. So here we go. It's like,
we could have avoided all of this. Why were you afraid to tell us
the fucking map from the beginning? I don't understand why all that was necessary. Yeah, it was so strange. So she gives them a map, and random woman gives them a map, and Link seems to get jealous of Kevin here, where this is where the start of it, because he knows exactly where it's at. And I thought I wrote down where it was at, like the name of the palace they were going to. It's like the underground palace, the island palace.
Island palace, that's right. Is that this one, or is that the next one?
No, that's the next one. So this episode, this story does a double fake where you get one map, it leads you to a temple where they get another map with a key with that map, and that's when they have to go to the island palace. But on the trip to this first temple, there is this field of just boulders just hurling, like just flying at 100 miles an hour, like zooming through the sky. And it's just one of the goofiest. Honestly, it seems pretty cool because no one has to duck. It's supposed to seem like this dangerous thing, but no one has to duck. You just see a whole thing of boulders just flying through the air. I'm sure if you were to stick your head up there, you would take your head clean off, but.
Now I've never completed Adventure of Link. I've played it. I never made it very far, but I'm familiar with the game, and I know there's an area that's kind of near the end, and you know they face that sandworm that comes out, and it's way more menacing in this than it is in the game. But I was wondering, I can't remember if there's a place where there's like rocks flying in the background. What I thought they might have been referencing is there's part where there's like, there are bubbles that come up and those hurt Link. And maybe they're like, their interpretation of that is, no, it's rocks being blown through the air. That's why they hurt Link, which would make more sense than bubbles. But I did make note of that. I was noticing Like, the Moblin character designs looked good. Granted, they probably took those from the Zelda cartoon, but, like, I felt like a lot of the areas and stuff were pretty good, accurate with a lot of the stuff. A lot of the end game Adventure of Link stuff was pretty accurate in this.
I really just liked the... Yeah, I got what you're saying. I was actually surprised how faithful the music felt to... wasn't faithful to the game, but it felt like it fit the Zelda theme really well. I thought that was kind of surprising. But speaking of music, when they get to this first temple... Oh, sorry, I completely forgot. Before we get there, with the Hurling Rocks, Eggplant Wizard and King Hippo are also traveling along there. Eggplant Wizard goes, whoa, a huge rock, and turns it into a tomato so it doesn't hurt them, and then it just splatters all over them, and King Hippo goes, I hate tomatoes, and they're just covered in red cells. I was thinking that might be the thumbnail, but I kind of love this Eggplant Wizard and King Hippo dressed up at 5:37. I think that's like one of the best stills I've ever seen from this show. It's kind of amazing.
It is. It's great.
I'm trying to see like if there's like a good frame that's like there. There's a couple that look pretty good.
These would be like, I'd almost be willing to pay someone money to cosplay as these two.
No one would know what it is. You won't know King Hippo without his penny sized nipples. Or his quarter-sized nipples or whatever the hell. Half dollar. They're half dollar. Let's be real.
I do think his belly button is exposed, though.
I just noticed that now. Oh, my God.
People might recognize the belly button.
Let's be real here. That is honestly genius character design for this. Because that's one of, like... His stomach in this cartoon is kind of a bizarrely defining part of his character. And the fact that I'm looking at this now, it's cut out. It's not like his belly's peering through, like, it's not like there's a button up and it's like pushing out the buttons and that's why his belly's popping out. The last button is still latched above it and his belly is just popping out. And there's clearly like a diamond shaped cutout meant for his stomach to hang out a little bit. What a weird... This show's amazing, man.
It's beautiful.
Okay, so they go to the first temple. I don't know where it's at. And it brings back that weird montage music of... It's clearly a parody of some other type of song. And I don't know what that song is. It kind of reminds me a little bit of like Rocky almost, like, or like Stan Bush's The Touch, you know what I mean?
Yeah, I couldn't recognize this one. I recognized the previous two, which I don't know if we clarified or not, that these, once we get to season two, the songs aren't replaced anymore. These were specifically made for the episode so that they wouldn't have to worry about paying for the official songs.
Yes.
But I'm sure that they had a needle drop in mind and that they were like, we're just going to make something inspired by that. So the first one was Monster Mash. The last one, I think, was Shake, Rattle, and Roll. That's what it sounded like to me. Mm-hmm. I'm sure I remember it. Gonna have a good time. I can't remember what the last song, the lyrics were that they kept repeating. But it sounded like Shake, Rattle, and Roll. This one, I could not put my finger on what they were going for with this song.
I have no clue either, dude. I'm very confused by it. So they get to the map with the key, and they have to fight this, like, this horse head, as they call it, which is just a centaur. Just a centaur, but they call it
a horse
head.
That's what the boss's name is in the game, though.
Oh, is it? Okay.
Yes.
I've not played Adventure of Link, so, like, I'm going to be very not well-versed in this part. That is... That's pretty cool then, actually, that they take a boss from the game and they actually incorporate it into the cartoon.
Yeah, no, they had a lot of accurate, except for how you actually defeat that boss.
Yeah.
I like how Kevin says, eat Zapper. But then he doesn't, and he pulls out his Zapper, but he doesn't actually shoot him with the Zapper. He shoots the ceiling above him so that the rocks collapse on him.
Mm-hmm.
But I also wanted to point out for those that have watched the Zelda cartoon and that Zelda just totally gives Kevin a kiss after the musical montage, just kisses him on the cheek, which if you watched the Zelda cartoon is a huge deal, because like that's Link's whole thing is wanting a kiss from Zelda.
No wonder he got so pissy. That was the moment that he really like that switch turned on, that that he was getting really pissy about it. See, I never watched the Zelda cartoon. That's why I like, that's a completely like unknown thing to, for me. So I'd be, you know, eventually we're gonna have to do it. It's, I mean, that's just what we've, that's the our lot in life now. We watch old video game cartoons for this podcast. Yeah.
I know. I was thinking about that. I either want to do Mario next, but maybe we should do Zelda next, because I think that's only got a few episodes anyway.
It's only 13, like 12 or 13. Yeah. We could do it in a year easily.
Yeah.
But anyway, so they, yeah, I thought that was weird that he goes, you know, horse heads are weak to rocks on their head or like falling. You aim
attacking
for their head.
Attacking their head, like from
attacking
above.
Their head. I'm like, why don't you just shoot them in the head? You didn't need to drop rocks on it. It's a lot more work for your animators, in all honesty. And but this is where Link starts getting to be a little bit of a piss baby. He's like, oh, I could have done that, or something along those lines. And it just kind of ends up getting worse and worse as the episode goes along, to the point where he's just deliberately not doing anything Kevin's asking. Kevin's not even telling him, dude. And he's trying to give him advice, and he's like, fuck your advice. And it ends up biting him in the ass later on. But this is kind of like the start of it is right here. And you can see him get like mildly annoyed as it goes along. So they find a new map, and this is where they have to go to the Island Palace, and they have the key, and Link starts waving his sword randomly. He's like, he sees something, like he senses something, and Zelda thinks he's losing his mind. And Kevin's like, no, he's right. And all these floating eyeballs show up, and he starts swinging wildly at him. They start fighting him. And the moment right before this, though, I wrote this down. What the fuck is with that owl design? Did you see the owl right before this whole fight scene with all the eyeballs? It looks sickly.
That was a weird design.
You know
design.
What I'm talking about?
Yeah.
I think it's like 12 minutes and like 20 some odd seconds in. I think it's like 23. Hold on, let me see here. Yeah, it's like 12 minutes and 20 seconds. The owl actually has a heart on its chest.
It's so bizarre. It's almost like a robot owl. Yeah, it's weird, but it's like...
It's a very really skinny neck, bizarre, like
really wide head.
Yeah. Really bizarre design for the owl. And I was even thinking like, oh, this could be the thumbnail. I still think we should stick with that Eggplant Wizard and King Hippo thing. But even so, I was hesitant for this one, because it's like, it doesn't, like, I find the design weird, but not interesting weird, if that makes sense, you know?
That makes sense. And it's definitely not Kepora Gibora for all the Zelda fans out there.
Oh God, I hope.
But
not.
This was also a reference to Zelda 2, where there's a town, there's one town in Hyrule in that game that you visit, and it looks like there's nobody there, and you just get mm-hmm. hit randomly, and you have to get, I can't remember what the name of the spell is, Reveal or something like that. And when you cast that spell, that's when you find out that there are these floating eyeballs that you have to attack in the game. That's the only way you can progress in that town, is by having that spell that reveals those eyeballs. But I actually laughed out loud when Link was swinging his sword around, and because one of the places he swiped was where King Hippo and Eggplant Wizard were hiding, and they like slowly pop up from behind the stump of the tree with like, he almost killed us faces, and then they just kind of go back down.
It's a very silly gag. Well, they start running away from those eyeballs, and the Kevin's like, I know a secret passage to the like underground. Like, I know a secret passage that can get us to the island. And Link's like, I do too. I can find it with my eyes closed. And then he falls through a sinkhole that literally comes out of nowhere. Like it's honestly looks like part of Captain N's long history of things looking like a butthole. It just swallows them up. It swallows them up. And they, you see them kind of go into like a sewer type of area, not a sewer, but like a underground cavern with a river in it. And then they suddenly just show up in on the island. Like you don't see any traversal. Like how does this cavern take them there? And it's especially confusing because to get to the island temple or the island palace, they King Hippo, this is now our second instance of King Hippo and Eggplant Wizard being together on a boat, you know, friends forever, man.
Yes. On a nice Hyrulean raft. They're just chilling mm-hmm. on the water.
Well, King Hippo goes like, hey, we're going the wrong way. And Eggplant Wizard goes, no, the island's this way. You're just facing backwards. Like King Hippo didn't realize he was like, if you notice, and it totally makes sense. If you notice how they're paddling, King Hippo is paddling like he's trying to move forward in his direction. And Eggplant Wizard is paddling like he's trying to move forward in his direction. So they're since their backs are faced to each other, King Hippo's pulling the boat one way, Eggplant Wizard's pulling the boat the other way. And King Hippo's like, you know, I get seasick if I like move backwards or something like that. If I move on the boat backwards, let me get to the front. And then it, of course, he stands up on a tiny ass raft. It's just a handful of logs all bound together. And if it tips over and they have to swim their asses over to the island.
Yes. Sorry, believe it or not, Game Boy has been a part of this the whole time, even though we haven't really talked about him. And the way he's been fighting mm-hmm. is by having a baseball bat that like pops out of his stretches out of his screen and like beats the crap out of the bad guys. And I actually really liked the animation. It was super smooth when he's fighting the eyeballs with his baseball bat.
They finally make it to the island palace and they have to fight an iron knuckle in order to get the potion of power. And this is where the kind of the arguments between Link and Kevin kind of come to a head. And Link doesn't want to listen to anything Kevin says. And because of that, they get distracted too long and King Hippo and Eggplant Wizard are able to sneak in, grab the potion of power. And I like Game Boy is the one that notices them doing it. Once they see the potion's been taken and that Princess Zelda almost gets taken, I think she gets like picked up or like pulled away by Ganon or not Ganon. I'm sorry. The Iron Knuckle. That's when Link suddenly realizes, oh, I've been an asshole this whole time. I need to actually like, you know, we need to work together. And they aim for the horse. They aim like Kevin's been telling him they have to take out the horse. They finally do. And then they can defeat the Iron Knuckle. So what are some of your thoughts on this scene, though, before we kind of go into the final segment of this episode?
I loved the horse's ridiculous face that the Iron Knuckle was riding on. but I am familiar with this boss fight where the Iron Knuckle comes, like he goes back and forth zipping through the room and you kind of have to like do the downward stab onto him as he jumps by and stuff. And if you do, I know what they're talking about. Cause once you do, destroy his horse, then he just becomes an average Iron Knuckle that you fight in the temples, like throughout the game.
So. Mm-hmm.
But it was horrifying when the Iron Knuckle comes running after them. He's just like, oh, and they all have to like Zelda gets out her bow and Link has his sword and they all just attack at once. And that's what destroys the Iron Knuckle.
After they defeat that Iron Knuckle, like you just said, they are trying to figure out like, well, oh, no, they have the potion of power. It's too late. How are we going to stop Ganon? And Kevin's like, well, maybe it's not. And he tells Game Boy, go get the end team. And that's when Game Boy just warps. Game Boy could just warp whenever the fuck he wanted. Game Boy,
I wrote that down too. I was like, wait, Game Boy can warp anytime? Like, is that why he's didn't he warp
to this? Did he not know where it is at, maybe? I don't know.
But yeah, King Hippo and Eggplant Wizard stole the potion of power, which is what their plan was all along. And I wrote down because I gave a little giggle because King Hippo's like, see you later, Captain Ninny. And I just thought
didn't hear that part.
Yeah, he runs off. And
I kind of like that, Captain actually. Ninny.
Yeah, I was like, I wrote it down and put a little smiley face emoji.
Then it cuts over to what you see, the Mother Brain, King Hippo, and Eggplant Wizard about to give Ganon the potion of power. And what is with like weak Ganon's design? It's this tiny pig that just goes, like, give me the potion. It's got like a weird pig head necklace on that he's wearing. This design was one of the most confusing things I think I've ever seen. From the show, I was baffled by the choices of this scene. I'm actually going to try to find it real quick, just so that
19 minutes. It was outrageous, and I loved it. And apparently, according to my YouTube, it's the most replayed moment of.
I guess. Oh, really?
I guess YouTube can track that. I've got like a little thing on my video bar, and it says this is the most replayed moment of the video. Is weak Ganon with his weird like buck teeth? They're like the teeth like Goofy from Disney's Goofy. Got like square teeth, and it's funny because I didn't expect that, because I think in the game they have to add Link's blood to Ganon's dead ashes or something like that. Because remember, when you defeat him in the first game, it's a pile of ashes with the Triforce of Power sticking out of it in the first game, and I think that's the whole point, is they have to add Link's blood to those ashes to bring back Ganon. Because he's the one who killed him, and that's why whenever you lose the game, it cuts to Ganon being revived, and it's got the sound clip of the like the one thing that they could do with a sound effect for laughter. But when they showed weak Ganon, I was like, wait, that's not Ganon, right?
And
what is this weird Porky Pig Goofy hybrid?
If you freeze at like 1843. He's not drinking the potion yet, but he's wearing a necklace that has a pig's head on it, which is just very morbid to think about. That means it's like, it'd be like me having a human head necklace, like a shrunken head type of thing, but it's a pig head. And it's right over the portion of his body where, like, you know how he has like his rib cage on the outside of him, or he's wearing some type of armor that's like bone armor.
Right.
And so it just looks like this pig doll. And when he grows into the full size, you know, it's not, you know, that the bones that are on his chest there are not part of that pig. It's actually like his armor or whatever, but it's still very, very goofy. So they feed him the potion of power. He turns giant and evil and terrifying looking, and they want to defeat him. Mother Brain tries to control him. He says no to Mother Brain. The way they ultimately end up defeating him is that, you know, earlier in the island palace, Link found a magic potion, and they kind of spritz the magic potion on Link's shield. So when Ganon shoots a spell at him, just like out of Zelda game, it deflects back at Ganon and ends up defeating him. And he kind of spirals off along with Mother Brain and Eggplant Wizard, which I thought was really weird. It really didn't seem like Ganon was defeated. It almost seemed like he just got pushed out of the castle. Yeah. You know, like it didn't really seem like he got defeated. But the one last note I have before I want you to give you some of your thoughts on this final scene here. Mother Brain is riding a tank. Did you notice that? She's got like a one track tank. It's so strange. Yeah, like at 20 minutes and 7 seconds.
Speaking of having those different conference rooms in the Palace of Power, Mother Brain has several different like mobile devices to get around, like different kinds of tanks and treads and stuff.
Yeah. I love it. It's inventive. It's fun. I don't know. Mother Brain will always be one of my favorite villains now, though. At 2 minutes and 8 seconds, you can see Mother Brain from her side angle, and her brain is huge. Like, it just takes up the whole glass. It looks very strange because you see the spine and then a big gap in between the spine and her face. What a terrifying character design, but it's so good at the same time. Seriously, like, I'm amazed by this character design. So after they defeat him, they, you know, kind of all convene. And this is the scene that I thought was, like, super weird because, you know, it cuts back to it, and you see the end team, the rest of the end team who showed up. By the way, like we said, Game Boy Goat gets sent away, warps away to bring the end team. They bring the end team when they confront Ganon right before he drinks his like power potion. But the end team does nothing. Doesn't do a single fucking thing. There's no need for them to be there at all. Simon has one line and that's it. Or like maybe two. But like, there's no need. And I'm looking at the still of it right now. You see Kid Icarus, you see Mega Man, who neither of them had lines in this episode. You just see them. You see Simon, who obviously did have lines. And then you see Kevin and Game Boy and Link and Zelda. But there's no need for the end team to be here. Kevin and Link did it all. What? Why?
You are right. I didn't even think about that because I was like, oh yeah, they got the rest of the end team because it's, you know, it's the big bad, it's Ganon, it's Mother Brain, it's King Hippo. But you're right, there was no, like, none of them did a thing. It was the magic, the reflect magic on Link's shield, and Ganon destroyed himself by trying to attack Link with magic. And then they all run up after, like, good job, Link. And then Princess Zelda kisses Link, so... Like he finally got
his kiss in the end. You know, he finally got what he was looking for.
There's the two whole, things. I didn't notice this before. Well, first of all, I did notice that Kevin does the classic anime, like arm behind the head, like, aw, shucks kind of thing. and afterwards, when they've saved the day, the last shot is panning back of the whole end team doing like a background huzzah, character from a Street Fighter. Huzzah. Yeah, they're all like... It reminds me of someone in the background of Street Fighter 2, like just constantly raising their arms.
I'm watching it now. They didn't alternate, but it's just like one fist just pumping. Oh no, you're right. Kevin and Simon are going back and forth. They're all wow. That's the most ridiculous thing I've ever seen.
If I could have, I want to. Who I cheers want a that way? Of that, yeah. Kind of want to give
yeah hey that, Dexter though. We just finished recording another great episode of the Captain N rewatch, just fist pumping vigorously. If only people could see our cameras right now. I'm gonna send you like a video on like Instagram or like on Snapchat or something like that, and it's not going to have any sound. It's just going to be me just fist pumping with both arms back and forth.
A totally
imagine if you did that for like just like everyday life, like like you have sex with your wife, yes, fist bump. you get a raise at work.
And if I'm gonna look again, I don't think any of them have like their mouth open either. They're just like silently fist pumping.
Even creepier, like I'm just picturing you you have sex with your wife and then you start doing that in the bed and no emotion on your face and you just fist pumping with both arms like alternating. My wife would divorce me immediately.
Yeah.
That's like the lamer version. Have you ever watched Scrubs?
Yeah.
There's one of my favorite jokes in it. JD, when he's dating Mandy Moore's character in the show, you find out that him and Turk, when they were roommates, they had a sex gong. So the other and they would ring it after they would have sex, so the roommate would know when the other person was getting some. And so JD and Turk aren't living together, and so in the beginning of this scene, they actually didn't have time. The joke is him and Mandy Moore didn't have time to have sex, so they wanted to fake it so that way JD's roommate thought he was getting some. So they're just pounding on the backboard of the bed and making like noises and stuff like that. And then after they do their fake sex, JD goes like, all right, now you got to ring the sex gong. And she goes, what is that? He's like, well, and he explains the whole thing. And he ends with going... And so even though Turk isn't living with me anymore, I still like to ring it because I'd like to think that he can still hear it. And so she goes, oh, that's so funny. And she hits it. and you're bong, and it cuts over to Turk sitting by himself on his, like, in his boxers eating cereal, and he, you just hear him hear the sex, you see him hear the sex gong, and he goes, yeah buddy, haha, that's my dog. One of my favorite jokes from Scrubs of all time. Just the idea of the sex gong is one of the funniest things. And so now we've created the Captain N version of this.
Now we add the silent fist pumping.
The silent awkward fist bumps. That's how you celebrate having sex with whomever your significant other may be. Or maybe not. Maybe it's just a one night stand. Either way, you have, this is now, dear listener, we are directing you. Or we are encouraging you, I should say, that next time you have a little bit of fun, you just make sure you give those double fists.
We'll know. We'll hear it.
We'll hear the what the fuck from 1,000 miles away from your partner being incredibly confused and you being very satisfied.
But know that we are giving you a golf clap wherever we are.
Yes, it's a respectable golf clap. Now imagine that from our perspective, if that was actually real, you're like in the middle of eating lunch at work and you just suddenly break out and just start golf clapping. You're in the middle, you're a teacher, you're in the middle of a lecture with your students. Just golf claps. Oh my god. All right, Dexter, we got to wrap this up. We're going long and it is late. I got to go to bed. What are your final thoughts for this episode?
Oh man, my final thoughts on this was someone did their homework. Someone played or knew someone that played Zelda 2. There was a lot of solid references for this show especially. So I'm kind of seeing a trend here with we got some good Donkey Kong references last time. We got some good Burger Time references the time before. So the video game references are becoming a lot more consistent. Also, I felt like there was definitely some weird parts, but I felt like the animation was pretty consistent. I'm not saying it was all spectacular, but it was consistent. And consistent enough for me to look at Spectrum Animation Studio was the offshore's animation studio responsible for this one. And in my research looking them up, they did a lot of stuff for Deke Animation. But they earned a really strong reputation. They were kind of like a strong team for Batman the Animated Series.
Oh,
and
okay.
Their work on that, you would think, would catapult them into being a world-renowned animation studio. But Batman the Animated Series put them out of business because they put way too much effort into it that they couldn't afford to do it. There's interviews with like Bruce Timm and the people on the show. They said that they painstakingly hand-painted any time Mr. Freeze's helmet was on to make it look like frosted glass. And they said that they were really good at doing like the puddles in Gotham City, like making it look misty and rainy and the reflections. And they were so good at that, that it put them out of business because they put all of their money into doing these amazing shots. And then just, they got to the point where they couldn't afford to do it anymore. But
that's such a bummer, man. Like, why didn't they just raise their prices? Like, no offense or anything like that to like Warner Brothers had that money. Are you kidding me? Like,
yeah, I have no idea, but that's what, according to my research, they got too good at their jobs, basically.
That's so wild. That's so wild. All right, let's wrap this up. So you gave your final thoughts, right?
Yeah, a great episode. They did the Rich. You said the writer's name was. He probably only did this one episode because he spent all of his other time playing Zelda 2 to completion.
Rick Merwin.
Rick. Yes, Rick. You did a great job doing your homework.
For me, I enjoyed this one. I like this one a lot more than so far. Actually, the second and third episode of season 2. It's pretty good. The last two episodes have actually kind of rejuvenated me in this series because the last couple episodes of season 1 were starting to get a little bit stale. Like, I didn't really like Metroid Sweet Metroid. I didn't really like In Search of the King. That was the weird mirror episode 1. Simon the Ape Man was okay. Happy Birthday Mega Man was wild. But like, and I didn't really like Game Boy, but the last two have been like honestly somewhat interesting to me. Like, I really enjoyed them. So I like this one. It's overall pretty good. So, Dexter, where can all the good people find you online? What do you have to shout out?
At the moment, I don't know if I've, or at the time of this recording, I'm not sure if I'm going to have anything specific to shout out, but you can find me on Instagram, on Twitter, just by searching my name, Dexter Morrill. The last name is M-O-R-R-I-L-L. I'll be on there. I'll be sharing cool video game stuff. I might be sharing some of my artwork. Or if you just want to have a conversation, let's do it. But that's where you can find me.
As usual, you can follow me on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram at StillLoadingPod on all of them. If you want to email me, you can email me stillloadingcontact@gmail.com. If you want to support the show, you can do it in a number of ways. You can give it a 5-star rating and review on Apple Podcasts or whichever podcasting app you use. Not only does that cost you nothing but just a smidge of time, but it makes me feel nice and it also helps more people find the show. You can also support it monetarily by going to patreon.com/stillloadingpod. And for your hard-earned money, you get a little bit of something extra back to you. For $1 a month, you get the episodes a few days early at a higher bitrate, as well as access to a patron-exclusive Discord. And for $5 a month, you'll get all of that, plus 2 extra bonus episodes a month. Now, this episode we are recording pretty far in advance. This won't be out until September, so I have no idea what my most recent bonus episodes are going to be, but I can tell you the most recent one as of now was a retro magazine review, and I don't think it's going to be one of those at the time this comes out. But just to give an idea of some of the other stuff I have for that, I'm planning on doing another bonus episode on play-by-mail games, which is something I just discovered existed and I'm fascinated by, and you will learn more about that. And actually, it might even already be out. Actually, it will probably have been out by the time you hear this episode. And starting this Friday, the 16th, there will be a new bonus series for the $5 patrons called Still Bonding, where my friend Erica Gwynn and I, you may know Erica from her podcast Monster Madness, we are going to be going through every single James Bond movie, one movie at a time, 1 month at a time. We are starting with Dr. No and obviously going straight on through. And I'm very excited for this series, and I think you all will enjoy it. The first episode clocked in at over 3 hours before editing, so after editing it, you're still looking at a very large episode that I think you will all like. So please consider subscribing at the $5 level to not only get the 2 bonus episodes I mentioned, but this new Still Bonding podcast exclusive to the $5 level. So go check that out. patreon.com/stillloadingpod. But the most important shout out is the Bit by Bit Foundation. The Bit by Bit Foundation is a nonprofit organization whose mission is to put video games and video game consoles in the hands of kids receiving inpatient care in hospitals. So if you want to support them, go to bitbybitfoundation.org and consider donating. And that's all the time I have for you today. That's all the time we have for you today. Dexter, thank you so much for joining me.
You bet. Always a blast. And I'll be thinking of everyone the next time I play video games.
We will be thinking of you the next time we play video games. Goodbye, everybody.
Goodbye.